Series here on the Wednesdays in Lent. We're continuing, like Pastor Danner said, to sit with Jesus in the upper room, and we're watching and we're listening to the things that Jesus chooses to do, things he chose to do just hours before he's delivered to be crucified. And so far over these Wednesdays, we've seen Jesus wash his disciples' feet. We've seen him teach about what it means to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And we've also seen him start to pray in that upper room. Pray for himself and later on his disciples and for the entire world. Well, this prayer actually comes in John chapter 17. This is actually, it's the verses that we just heard read. This is a section, it's part of a section in Scripture that I think is overlooked, to be honest. In the book of John, it comes from the Gospel of John, again, chapter 17, but in the Gospel of John, we actually have five whole chapters of Jesus talking with his disciples this night in the upper room right before he's going to be delivered to be crucified. Five chapters of this. If you have a Bible like I do here, that's a red letter Bible, you'll notice that there are five chapters in John which are pretty much straight red. John 13 through 17, all red because of the words of Jesus. All on the night before he goes to be crucified. This is actually a famous section of Scripture. You may not even realize it. There's famous verses that come from this particular night. Verses like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or verses like, I am the vine, you are the branches. Verses like, greater love knows no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Or, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. All from that one portion of Scripture, John 13 through 17, there in the upper room. Well, Jesus then ends this beautiful portion of Scripture with a prayer. A prayer where first, again, he prays for himself and all the things that he's going to go through the next 3 days, really. That God would get the glory in all of that. That's how he starts out this prayer. And Pastor Danner actually talked about that part of the prayer last week. But tonight now, we're taking a look at the section where Jesus goes on to pray for his disciples. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, in this part of the prayer, I've read it before, and I remember it, remember reading it before, but for whatever reason, I was misvisualizing it. I've always visualized this prayer as something just between Jesus and God. Maybe in the garden or somewhere alone where he went off to pray. But if you actually read the text here in John chapter 17, Jesus is actually praying this prayer for his disciples, with his disciples. They're right there, right with him, right with him. It says that he lifts his eyes and with them in his midst and lifts his eyes to heaven and he starts to pray. It's almost as if Jesus is kind of, in a way, laying hands on them. Again, this night before all these things begin to happen. And this night, in this prayer, Jesus, every single one of these disciples is on his heart because he knew. He knew what was about to happen. He knew the kinds of things they would be going through these next several days, actually next several years, even decades of their life. And he knew how much they would need God to watch over them, to protect them, be with them, every single one of them. And I can just imagine what must have been on Jesus' mind for each one of his disciples sitting around him as he prays this prayer. I can just imagine he's thinking, God, I'm sitting here with Matthew. Matthew, God, when I met him, he was at a tax collector booth and he was using his gifts. He has so many gifts, his gifts of writing and his gifts of recording and reasoning. And he was using them for all the wrong kinds of things. Now, God, I pray that after all these things happen, I pray that he wouldn't turn back to those ways. But instead, I pray that he would use his gifts, the gifts that you've given him, so that more people can know you. God, I'm sitting here with Philip and Andrew. God, when as soon as they knew about me, as soon as they met me, as soon as that happened, they were telling others about me. They knew. They got it. They understood what I was all about. God, they're going into a day when they're not going to understand. And they're not going to know what to do or what to think. God, I pray that on those days that are ahead for them, that you would let them trust in you. Lord, let them trust that it's all going to be okay, even when they don't get it and they don't understand. God, I'm here with Jude. Jude, and I know that Jude is waiting. He's waiting for me to be a king. He's waiting for a certain kind of kingdom that he thinks that I'm all about. But God, I pray that you would give him the eyes to see and believe in the kind of king and the kind of kingdom that I'm really all about. God, I'm sitting here with his brother James. And James, he usually gets overlooked because he's younger. And God, I pray that you would let him not be discouraged. Don't let him lose heart. God, encourage him. Build him up. Let him be strong and courageous in what he believes, even when the world tries to tear him down. And then there's the other James. God, he's a fisherman with me from the very beginning too. And since then, his life has never been the same. God, his world is about to turn upside down again. And I pray that in those times when he's headed for trials, when he's headed for tribulations, God, I pray that you just keep his eyes on you. One day, God, he's even going to die. We know he's going to die for preaching about me. And when that comes, God, I pray that you would let the peace that only we can give, let that peace dwell inside him. God, for Nathaniel, by the world standards, he was born to nobility, wealth, God, and honor. But Lord, when you send him out to preach in my name, to spread my name to this world, let him show the world that the only thing that is honorable and noble is following you. Let him see that, God. God, I'm sitting here with Simon. Simon, he comes from a group of people who's known for their zeal, God, but I pray that you would give him the zeal. That you would make him passionate, fill him with the fire of your spirit wherever you're calling him, even to death. God, I'm sitting here with Thomas. Thomas, and right now he can hear me and he can see me, and because of that he believes in me. But God, there's gonna come a day. We both know there's gonna come a day when he won't be able to see me. He won't be able to hear my voice. But on that day, God, I pray that you would help him to believe in the things that he can't see or hear or touch. God, then there's John. John, I'm sitting here with John and my good friend, even to the very end. And God, it pains me. It pains me to know how much he's going to suffer for my name, how lonely he's going to be for following me. But God, in those times in his life when he feels deserted and he feels so alone, God, let your love be enough. Let the love that both of us have for him be enough to see him through. And for Peter, God, Peter, God, he has, just like all of these men sitting here, God, he has so many ups and downs, so many good days and bad days, so many successes and so many failures. But God, I pray that you would let his failures, in his failures, God, let him be a man that shows your forgiveness, our forgiveness, God, the forgiveness that I'm winning for him at the cross, the forgiveness I'm winning for everyone at the cross. And finally, God, for Judas. Judas, he's not here. He was here, but not anymore, and we both know why. But God, right now, he thinks that he knows best. And soon his eyes will open and he'll see and he'll understand what he's done. And in those moments, God, I pray. In fact, God, I beg that in those moments for Judas, who's been following me all these years, I pray that in those moments when he understands what he's done, I pray that if there's any words, any of my words that can echo in his ears in those moments, I pray that they would be this: love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. God, let him know that I love my enemies, that I pray for those who persecute me. Let him see that my forgiveness is for everyone, even for him. You see, as Jesus prays with his disciples, as he prays for his disciples, we see the heart that Jesus has for everyone who follows him. And that includes you and me. See, when we use our gifts for the wrong kinds of things, when we don't understand, when we're tired of waiting, and when we need encouragement, when we go through trials and tribulations, and when our zeal is misplaced, and when we find it difficult to trust or to do the right thing, when we feel lonely or when we feel afraid, in those times, let us see right here the heart of Jesus. Let's join with the disciples and let's see exactly what followed this prayer that Jesus said for them. And it's this: the cross. There we see the love. We see the forgiveness. We see the promise, the heart that Jesus has for every single one who follows him. To Jesus alone be the glory. Amen.